With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're going to turn our attention to the New York Mets, who will report for whatever they're going to call this conventionally spring training period this week. We're going to chat with a Mets beat writer for MLB.com. You know him as Anthony DeComo, but all of us cool kids call him Tony. So, Tony, good to hear from you. How you doing, pal?
Hey, it's good to hear your voice, Howie.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hi, Susan. You as well. Good to hear from both of you. Baseball's back. It's great, right?
Well, is it?
Yeah,
are we sure?
Yeah.
Well, just you know, throw me your visceral reactions at not so much the news that baseball was coming back, but what it will entail to get to opening day, never mind the end of the season.
Yeah, look, I read through the 100-and-whatever-page document of protocols that not only players, but staff members, media, everyone who's going to be involved in this in any way has to go through just to get into the ballpark, let alone to make this thing work. And look, it's going to be a challenge. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's going to take a lot of discipline from players, from staff, from everyone, both and during the time when they're in the stadium and during the time when they're away from the stadium. A lot can go wrong. And I also think, you know, guys are going to test positive, both for the antibodies and for having the disease while it's going on. I think that's an inevitability.
This week, probably.
Yeah, I think, well, and that's kind of my point, is it's going to come out this week almost certainly that guys that went into these stadiums to get tested have it. And if, you know, there needs to be, and I know that there is, procedures in place that the season won't just collapse because 10 guys tested positive or 20 guys tested positive. I think they have gotten this to a point. I hope they've gotten to a point where we can go on and move on and do it safely, even when that happens. So it's just going to take a lot of discipline, like I said, for everyone on every side to continue having it move forward, despite what will be setbacks along the way, talking about things like that.
You know, and here's an interesting thing, and I have to ask you about this. And first of all, I haven't said, I don't know what the protocols for media, for broadcasters are. Nobody's told me a thing, so I don't know if it's hard to get in or it isn't. But I quite frankly am not all that worried about 25-year-old athletes getting this, because they're going to be fine. But are there protocols? Will there be? I don't know if it's shut it down, but you know, you're in a clubhouse, or there's going to be a staff member who's over 60, or you're in a clubhouse and you've tested positive, might give it to somebody else who goes home and their mother-in-law lives with them or something like that. It's not the players itself. Is this kind of a, well, we're going on no matter what, and, you know, does anybody accept the players get to go through this protocol of testing and follow-up? Because they know what they're doing. What about for the rest of us?
Yeah, so from a media perspective, I can tell you, you know, we're going to have our temperature taken every time we go into a ballpark. Now, we're not going to have blood tests for antibodies. We're not going to have COVID tests if we're not showing symptoms just to enter the park. These guys are all going to have to undergo that whole battery this week before they're going to be cleared even to work out, and they will continually be tested throughout the spring, throughout the summer. So it's going to, like I said, take a lot of staying on top of it. And there are two ways baseball could have gone about it. They could have tried to do it in a bubble, in which these guys are basically just isolated from everyone but each other for 4 months or whatever it's going to be. And, you know, it probably would have been safer that way, but it's also kind of realistic to think that that's a thing that could have worked, just in terms of having people sign off on isolating themselves, essentially sheltering themselves for the rest of the summer. It's just not something that I think a lot of guys are willing to do. So they're doing the more realistic plan, which is that they're going to be members of society while also being Major League Baseball players. And again, this, everything I'm saying goes for staff as well, goes for media, goes for everyone who's going to be around a ballpark. I'm going to be in a ballpark. Now, I can do two things when I'm not at the ballpark. I can go out and I can walk around without a mask, and I can go to clubs and party and do all these things, or I can be a responsible human being when I'm away from the ballpark so that I'm not endangering both others that I see every single day at that park and also people that I come into contact with my personal life. I'm going to do that. Am I confident that 1,000 people, players, staff, whoever, you know, whatever the number might be, are all going to do that? I hope so, but it only takes a few for this thing to kind of start, you know, eroding a little bit. If a few people are irresponsible, that has a trickle down effect on the entire industry. So I just think there's a lot of hope, and I think the league is hoping there's going to be a lot of leadership from the individual teams, individual rosters, individual clubs, saying, look, we got one chance to get this right. We have to shut it down because people are testing positive left and right. That's not good for anyone. So let's be responsible about it and let's play some baseball.
Well, let's assume for the purpose of this conversation, at least right now, that all of that will be realized and that we'll be able to get the season going. So from the perspective of those who present the game to the fans, you as a writer, Susan and me as broadcasters, you know, we have routines that are very often mandated by the club's routines. So it has been conventional for at least the Mets manager to speak to the press 3 hours before every game, 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. So how's that going to work this year? As you might know, will there be a Zoom regimented pregame press conference that takes place at a specific time, or is all of that out the door? Because writers and broadcasters get a lot of information in those hours leading up to the first pitch that we bring to you as, you know, information and background stuff on the air, in print in your case. Will we have any of that?
Yeah, there will be Zoom meetings every single day. I believe it will be pregame and postgame with the manager, some players as well. And the hope is that as we go along, hopefully this thing gets safer and safer, that maybe we can do in-person interviews. Because as you know, Howie, there's really no substitute. And even getting Luis Rojas every single day, twice a day via Zoom, it's just not the same when you don't have that organic nature of asking follow-ups and really seeing how a person reacts to questions and this and that. But
yeah, we like to get guys, one-on-ones too.
Yeah, exactly. And I certainly, as a member of the media, I hope that that is something that can be done from day one. And I don't think there's, you know, from my perspective, I don't think there's an expectation that it's going to be 100% great, that it's just going to be like a regular year and we can kind of get what we want, and that I can have, frankly, my finger on the pulse of the clubhouse as well as I would in a normal year. But the hope is that I can, you know, do as good a job as possible, and that I'm sure every other media member, yourself included, feels the same way. Look, it's going to take, once again, kind of discipline from us, from the clubs, from everyone to make this work. And hopefully, yeah, we can still get insight, meeting with Luis Rojas every day, meeting with players, even virtually at first, just to see what's going on. Because I think that's a huge part of the fan experience. I mean, that's obviously I'm biased. I'm in the media, but this is fans really want to know what's going on with the team, especially now. I mean, people have been missing baseball, and I know there's been a lot of hand wringing about, you know, all of the labor issues between the players and the owners, and maybe that's put some people off to the game. But at the end of the day, there's still a big portion of the population that missed baseball, that's happy it's coming back. I'm certainly among that. And these people have an appetite for what's going on inside the clubhouse, as well as what they see on TV every 3 nights.
Tony, I just want to know if Jeff McNeil, I just want to know from Jeff McNeil's mouth if he's ever double bogeyed a hole like a normal person.
Well, no, I can tell you that. The answer is no.
I miss this kind of stuff.
No, I want to know how his, but wait a minute, I want to know how his puppy is.
Big. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah. He's big.
Based on the Instagram stories, I remember meeting Jeff McNeil's puppy the day she came out to the ballpark for the first time, and she got adopted, and she could fit in the palm of your hand, and it's about twice the size as McNeil now.
See, those are the things, though, and I brought it up, you know, well, since I always had big, giant German Shepherds, I understand it. But, you know, the thing is that you want – see, baseball is so different, Tony, than every other sport, and it's those stories that you're talking about which brings the people to the fans. It really does, and I think it loses something, but as long as we've got the game back. You brought up Luis Rojas. We had a Father's Day show last week, and we had Felipe Alou on the air, and I got the feeling, and Howie, tell me if you think I'm wrong, he was more than a little anxious and a little worried about the season, the way it's starting. He wants Luis to get to manage because he prepared for that. And, you know, when it sounded, he sounded like he's a wonderful man and we know who he is, but he sounded like a really concerned father. You know Luis Rojas. He's been in that organization a long time. What are your feelings about this and with this really bizarre season with him?
I'll tell you what. It's almost like a free season for Luis Rojas because, you know, let's say the Mets don't do that well. They finish, I don't know, 30-30. They don't really sniff the playoffs. You can kind of chalk that up to, okay, well, it was a short season. It was a weird season. I don't think anyone's going to put a ton of blame on Luis Rojas unless he really does something spectacularly out of line, which I could never see happening. Exactly. So I think he's kind of free-rolling here in that sense because if they do well and they make the playoffs or do even better and let's say win a championship, that's going to get just as much pop as it normally would. And, yes, I understand people are going to try and bat that down no matter what team wins, and they'll say, oh, it's an asterisk, it was a 60-game season, it doesn't matter, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, a championship is a championship. So, you know, I think if Luis Rojas does well, it's going to come off as a credit to him. And if he doesn't, it's kind of going to be easy to brush away and say, okay, well, going into your next full season in 2021, you know, you can have optimism that you'll be better. So I actually don't think there's all that much pressure on him outside of the obvious pressure of first-time manager, big market.
And we're talking to Tony DiComo of MLB.com. And we know that Noah Syndergaard is gone for the year. We also know that the designated hitter is now a part of the National League, or, you know, all of baseball this year, even though there really won't be American and National Leagues per se when you get down to it. But, you know, the Mets lose something with Syndergaard. They gain something particularly significant with the DH. Do they balance out, or do the Mets gain something here somehow?
I still think that's kind of a net loss for the Mets. Noah Syndergaard, as much as you could probably say he hasn't fulfilled the expectations, the potential of what he could be, and that's because the ceiling for him has always been kind of best pitcher in baseball, and he hasn't really been that guy. I still think to lose him for a full season, you're losing more than you're gaining with this idea of using Yoenis Cespedes at DH. And I don't want to poo-poo everyone who's excited about Yoenis Cespedes at DH because I'm really interested myself to see how it looks. But I do think we need to all remember that this is a guy very much in his mid-30s now who hasn't seen professional pitching in 2 years. And this assumption that he's just going to go out and be 2015 Yoenis Cespedes, I think might be a little misguided. That's not to say he can't succeed. I think he can succeed. I think anyone who saw the way he was swinging a bat in spring training knows that he can succeed. But what does success look like? Is it an all-star caliber, you know, Nelson Cruz type of DH? I don't know. That might be asking a lot. So I think ideally for the Mets, a good DH situation includes Cespedes. It includes Dominic Smith a lot, especially against tough right-handers. Mm-hmm. It probably also includes Pete Alonso sometimes, putting Dominic Smith, the better defender, at first base. J.D. Davis can DH. Robinson Cano can DH. I think you're going to see all those guys. So it is a good position for the Mets compared to a lot of National League teams, but comparing it to losing a guy who can give you 200-plus innings pitched, you know, with a good ERA, striking out a ton of guys, I just think that the pitching is so important, and that's a tough loss for any team to stomach.
Well, also because of who you're going to be playing now, who this team is going to be playing, never mind the National League East that you play all the time. You throw the Red Sox in there, you throw the Yankees in there. Tampa Bay, don't sleep on Tampa Bay because they're going to pull something because they always do in a short season. And if there's a better hitting team on paper than the Toronto Blue Jays with all those kids, I'm not quite sure who it is. But it's going to be harder for everybody because all the teams that are aligned now in one division.
Yeah, Susan, I'm glad you mentioned Tampa Bay because I think everyone expects them to do something weird, something funky with their pitching.
They
do that over a full season. What can they do over 60 games? I wonder if the Mets kind of fall into that group too without Syndergaard in the rotation, does that put Seth Lugo back in play to do something weird or interesting with him? Robert Gesellman, could you have them start games more or be like an opener that goes 2-3 innings at the start? Things like that. It opens up a little more experimentation and almost, you know, kind of what I was saying before about Luis Rojas, not a lot to lose. If the Mets management and front office is open to thinking outside the box, they have the personnel to do some weird things, especially with Lugo and Gesellman there. Michael Wacha, another guy who everyone's just kind of assuming with Syndergaard out, is in that number five spot in the rotation role. He's got a history as a swingman as well. Can do a little relieving. Maybe he's better in short spurts. So we'll see once the spring training, summer camp, whatever you want to call it, starts going. It might be safer if it was. But we'll see what the Mets do in terms of their personnel, especially with those number five, six, seven starting pitching spots, you would call them. I think they have the opportunity, just like the Rays and some other teams, to do some weird things and maybe take advantage of a shorter season.
You know, Tony, I probably should know this, but I haven't given it a second's thought until now because of the way I structured my last question. But given that you're going to have, you know, one division play the opposite division as we normally do, I guess they'll be working out American League and National League champions the way they normally did. But this is going to be kind of goofy, isn't it, in terms of designating? I guess the way the playoffs will go, the whole 10 team and one thing, you know, league didn't really go through. But it's going to be an unusual season just from the standpoint of designating league champions, won't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, it's the schedule is not going to be as balanced as it usually is. You've got teams like the Mets and the Phillies and these NL East teams, especially the Mets because they're playing the Yankees as their quote-unquote rival. They've got a tougher schedule than most. There's no sugarcoating it. You have to play the Yankees. You have to play the Red Sox, who, you know, maybe weren't going to be that much of a force over a 162-game season, but you don't count them out over 60. The Rays. The whole NL East, with the exception of the Marlins, is pretty good. And even the Marlins, in a shorter season, maybe they can surprise some people with some of the young pitching and talent that they have. So there's going to be no easy games. And the other part of this is, say you have, you know, something that happens like last year, where Edwin Diaz comes and blows three games in a row. Well, all of a sudden, that's not three out of 162. That's three out of 60. Right. And I'm not saying that to pick on Edwin Diaz. I think a lot of people are optimistic that, you know, he can have a bounce back. But every single game is going to matter, essentially three times as much. And if you go on a little slide, you get cold, all of a sudden you drop 7 of 10, that could cook your entire season. As opposed to last year, you know, everyone points to the Nationals, who were so far out of it in May, went on to win the World Series. You can't really do that this year.
What was the stat? I think it was Jason Stark or somebody had it, that a four-game losing streak in this is like a 17-game losing streak in the other, in a regular season. Or it was something like that. I'm glad you brought up Edwin Diaz, because, you know, I would text Ed Coleman all the time, because we saw him in Seattle, great kid, and he was knockout. And I would text Eddie Coleman all the time saying, what have you done to Edwin Diaz? What have you done to that man? Which brings me to Dellin Betances. How is his ankle? Do you know if he's healed, if they're planning to play? I will give you a nickel bet right now. Dellin Betances walking into that clubhouse and sitting with Edwin Diaz every single day is going to help him an awful lot. Never mind the fact that Betances, when he's right, is as good as it gets.
Yeah, and everyone's focusing right now on Cespedes and even Jed Lowry and how these guys, you know, may benefit from this extra time. People are forgetting all about Dellin Betances and how this extra time helps him a lot.
Yep.
Last we saw him in spring training, he was throwing in the low 90s, and he was very cool, confident, said, this is normal. I'm kind of going through my rehab still. I usually build up slowly in spring training. I'll be there opening day. But you know, new team, there was some skepticism. Like, is this guy going to be pumping 98, 99 on opening day, or are we going to be seeing 93, 94. Well, now, I mean, an extra 3 months to prepare. You know, I don't think there's any doubt coming off that injury, Dellin Betances is going to be ready. And, you know, if he's anything close to what we've seen in the past with him with the Yankees, that's a huge boost to the back of the bullpen. And I think it takes pressure off of Diaz, let alone the leadership aspect, what Betances can do in terms of helping Diaz. I think just having him back there, having a slimmed down Familia, who I think we all assume will be a little bit better, back there, if those guys are good at the end and Edwin Diaz isn't the one guy that everyone's counting on, it's going to take a lot of pressure off him. Maybe see a bit fewer of those super high leverage situations and just thrive a little bit more overall.
And here's another thing that's interesting, and we'll just use Edwin Diaz as an example. There was a lot of question as to whether some of his problems last year stemmed from not being able to, quote, pitch in New York. Well, I don't say this to be flippant, but he has a bad outing or two, at least at Citi Field. He's not getting booed. You know,
that's right.
The pressures are a little different. So I'm serious. You know, you don't have to worry as much in his situation about reaction that might have affected him last year, because there won't be any such reaction this year. Or will whatever he sees or hears about in the media from game broadcasts or articles in the papers, you know, cancel that out? What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I was in the camp where I thought maybe that Edwin Diaz can't pitch in New York thing was a little overblown. Was it a factor in terms of maybe putting a little extra pressure on himself? Yeah, of course. But was it the reason why he struggled? No, the reason why he struggled is he couldn't throw his slider the way he used to, and his fastball was right over the plate most of the time. I mean, it's pretty simple. Does one play into the other a little bit? But I do think, to answer your question, yes, it can help. I don't think if that's, you know, that's going to be the sole reason why Edwin Diaz is better or not better this season. I think mechanically he's got to get his stuff figured out. You hope that he did over the offseason. The results in early spring training weren't all that encouraging, but I don't put a lot of stock in spring training. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But like I said, it's because every game is magnified, every save opportunity is magnified, every little situation is magnified, there's going to be pressure, even without those stands. Those fans in the stands. Yeah, they're not there to boo Edwin Diaz if he blows a save, but you better believe Edwin Diaz is putting a lot of pressure on himself to convert those, knowing one blown save could cost the Mets a division title, a playoff spot, what have you.
And one more for me, and I had totally forgotten that Rick Porcello is now on this team. And and I know it's not Noah Syndergaard. That guy's going to help the Mets a lot.
Yeah, it's an innings guy, and I think in the wake of Noah Syndergaard being injured, that's just ultra important. What Rick Porcello gives the Mets is a guy who you can count on to give you 200 plus innings. And you'd be surprised if he doesn't give you 200 plus innings. There's a lot of value in that. Noah Syndergaard was going to be one of those guys. Now they're going to be counting on Rick Porcello even more. So even if he goes out there and throws up another 5-something ERA, which I don't think he'll do in the National League, there's still value in those innings. If he can improve and get back towards like a 4 ERA, then all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty good pitcher who can help you a lot. So, the Mets lost some depth with Syndergaard, but they still have a pretty decent rotation.
Everybody's got somebody coming back from injury. And I'm not talking about the guys who got hurt during spring training. The Tansis would be an example. Here's one real wild card for the Mets. Drew Smith. Recovered from Tommy John surgery, can he now make a significant contribution this year?
I think he can. I think he can. He was going to be borderline to be able to make one of the minor league affiliates out of camp, but he's the exact candidate of a guy now with 3 months, 4 months removed from that, who you don't want him just sitting at home all summer. So I'm sure he'll be on that 60-man roster when it's released later today. And, yeah, you put a guy like that who can throw 94, 95, young, fresh, you know, if he's recovered enough from Tommy John that he has his command back, yeah, he can be a factor. And that's the thing. The Mets can kind of cycle through some of these young relievers now and see which of them are ready to help. They've got a pretty good bullpen core, but if someone goes down, they've got a little bit in the reserve. They certainly got more in the reserve in the bullpen, I would say, than they do in the rotation. So it's going to be interesting. I'm curious to see some of these decisions. 4 p.m. Eastern time today is the deadline for the 60-man roster. Does Andrés Giménez make the 60-man roster? Does David Peterson, I think, is
all
a good
possible
candidate to make the 60-man roster? I'm curious to see what direction the Mets go, knowing that certainly they're looking at the season as a chase for a championship.
Tony, nice talking to you. Hope to see you real soon. Stay well.
Thanks, Tony.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.